In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Some harsh words in the Gospel this morning. Jesus has some hard words to the father of the epileptic and to the generation, as he calls it, faithless and perverse. The father comes to Jesus and asks, "How come your disciples couldn't do it?" And Jesus is exasperated and says, "Oh, faithless, perverse generation." Then he takes the disciples aside privately and he tells them point blank, "Couldn't do it because you have no faith." Faithless, perverse, we might even add to that adulterous. We know that elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus refers to this generation as faithless and adulterous and sinful. And adulterous, in scriptural terms, is the classic sin par excellence. It means we're not in line with God. It means we're not faithful to Him. We can think about it in terms of all the scriptural and liturgical imagery. God is our spouse. He is the one we exist in a relationship through a covenant with. God made covenants with people throughout history. And it was always, "I will be your God, you will be my people, if you do this, if you keep my word." So we are in a covenant with God. We're in a covenant much greater than an earthly marriage covenant. In fact, it's the great covenant. All of our understanding of marriage is based on that covenant. God as our spouse. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and we, his church, the bride. So any time we are unfaithful and we go against his will, we can very well be called adulterous, like Jesus does in the Gospels, this generation. And so God's solution to all of this, people lacking faith, people being perverse, even adulterous, comes at the end of the Gospel today. "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day." This is God's solution. Jesus Christ comes into the world. He dies for the sins of the world, and we are reconciled to God through that new covenant ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus from the cross, as he is about to give up the Spirit, he says, "It is finished." That just doesn't mean he's about to die. It means literally, "It is consummated." The new covenant is now consummated. We know how we use the word consummated in a marriage covenant. Here it is with our covenant relationship with God. So the solution is Jesus. In order to have Jesus born, in order to bring God into the world as a man, it takes participation from people. And it took a mother to receive him into her womb and to participate in God's saving activity. And here we have the most blessed Theotokos and ever Virgin Mary. We commemorate her falling asleep, her passing from this world into the next, yesterday on the 15th of August. And we could look at the Virgin Mary in contradistinction to this world, to this generation that is perverse, that is faithless, that is adulterous. God was preparing for this all along. Mary just didn't appear out of nothing, out of a vacuum. Mary appears as the product of a faithful people. That's why in the church we make a big deal about her being brought into the temple as a child. God was preparing his people to cooperate and to finally do his will. In the scriptures, after the fall of Adam, you know, it's bad news. It gets worse and worse. There's all kinds of depravity. in the Old Testament. Up until a certain point, you know, we say Genesis chapter 12, and then we have Abraham, a man who believed God. And from there comes the promise. And Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, raised her up in holiness, in piety, in fear of God. That's why we make a big deal about her parents, too. She didn't spring out of a vacuum. She was raised up for this. God was preparing people all along. And He needed somebody willing to say yes. Yes, God, I love You. Yes, God, I will believe You. Yes, God, I will be true. And the Blessed Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, is that person. She had faith. She believed in God's word. We have the icon up there behind the iconostasis of the Annunciation. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, "This is what's going to happen. You are going to bear a son." And Mary was a young girl. She didn't know too much about how that's supposed to happen, other than how could it happen, which she says. But when the angel tells her, "This is from God," Mary says, "Let it be to me according to Your word." So Mary gladly receives the word of God, even though she doesn't fully understand. You know, she could have argued, she could have resisted, she could have run away in fear. But she said, "Yes, let it be to me according to the word of God." This, beloved in Christ, is the reason, number one, that we honor Mary among all the saints. We honor her, hearing the story and, of course, believing in the virgin birth. We could say, wow, no other person in human history was chosen to do that. And it's an unrepeatable act, bearing in your physical body the incarnate Son of God. God in the flesh, carried in your womb. Can only happen once, and Mary did that. That is great. But even greater than that, as Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, in reference to His mother, is he who hears the word of God and keeps it. Mary is revered so highly in the church, we remember her first among all the saints, because she did the will of God, because she said yes to God and enabled this great miracle to happen. So it's not all depravity and it's not all darkness. Jesus gives kind of that blanket assessment of this generation. But we are in need of salvation. And we know that prayer and fasting, along with kind works to the poor, are the three cornerstones of the Christian spiritual life. Jesus even says that. He mentions prayer and fasting. You cannot resist this type of demon without them. These are the tools we have, beloved in Christ. Constant communication with God, speaking to Him, hearing His word, and also fasting, because it allows us not to rely so much on the world, but rather on God, who is the source of everything. We are blessed to celebrate major feasts of the Theotokos in the church. We are blessed to have her, not as an exception to the rule. She is not a god. She is a person like you and I. She's not an exception. She is an example. We too can say yes to God. We may not be able to bear God in our womb. We may not be able to in-house the living God physically as she did. That only happens one time. But we can follow her great example by saying, "Let it be, Lord, unto me according to what You have said." Saying yes to God. Let us not be faithless. Let us not be perverse. Let us not trust in our own, but rather rely on God. Notice the disciples were concerned about, why couldn't we do it? The first problem there is they were counting on themselves doing it, right? Rely on God. And above all, let us not be adulterous. Let us love God. Let us keep His commandments and keep His covenant. He is our God and we are His people. If we believe and if we love Him, we will do His word. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary, and of all the saints, may our God have mercy on us and save us. Amen.